Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Bethann.
Good morning.
We both saw that picture of a, what was it, a cuttlefish? That big-eyed creature of the deep. Yeah, it was really something.
It was pretty adorable, but, you know, it was made possible by the fact that you had a remotely operated vehicle that was able to get down there to see
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
And we're going to talk about another one this morning. Now, you know that Last People Around the World were captivated by that adorable, almost toy-like cuttlefish. Those little purple creature, that little those little googly eyes. Well, it wasn't exactly what scientists thought they'd find, but that's why they call it the search for the unknown, which will get some help from another underwater exploration vehicle, the Schmidt Ocean Institute's new remotely operated vehicle, Sebastian. Carly Weiner is the communications manager for the Schmidt Ocean Institute, and she joins us right now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
A pleasure to talk to you. We know that there are lots of other ROVs out there, clearly ones that you've been using before, the one that we saw last week exploring and finding that adorable little cuttlefish. Why design your own?
So Schmidt Ocean Institute's research vessel Falkor goes all over the world to explore the ocean, and we bring scientists from all different walks of life doing different types of research. And bringing on other ROVs like ROPOS and autonomous underwater vehicles has been great, but we really wanted to develop our own vehicle specific to our ship so it works really well with Falkor, and also so that we could be able to advance our science. We have 4K cameras on the new ROV, which means we have the highest, crispest resolution when we are doing that exploration and being able to see new and wonderful creatures like that really cute cuttlefish.
So the idea of creating something that would be proprietary to your vessel, but also one that, if it's going to start setting industry standards, might be one that others might want to have too.
Well, what's nice about ROV Sebastian is that it's very modular. So scientists can put any type of equipment that they want on the vehicle, so we can make it adaptable to the different research that's coming on board. It's also modular in the sense that it could go on other research vessels. It was designed specifically for Falkor, but that doesn't mean it couldn't go onto other ships.
That's not your primary purpose in doing that, clearly.
Right. We want it special for our scientists on board.
So now you've spent a great deal of time off Guam and doing trials. Where does Sebastian head next?
So Falkor is actually transiting right now to Vietnam for another cruise, but we'll be heading back to Guam later this year, November and December, for our science verification cruise and for our first science cruise in the Mariana Back Arc.
And what happens when you are using this for the very first time with scientists? Is there some way of being able to standardize how they're looking at this, or to know exactly what they're seeing, being that this is a brand new piece of equipment that not everybody has used?
Sure, and ROV Sebastian is our baby, so like babies, you're learning as you go along, and really that's what the sea trials and science verification crews are about, is working out the kinks. And so we have an amazing engineering team and Falkor crew that work together to try to test the ROV as much as possible. We did 22 dives this past July and August and spent over 100 hours underwater. So trying to see what the vehicle can do, where some of the hiccups or kinks were, and working through those issues.
What were some of those hiccups?
Well, I'm sure the engineering team can talk better than I can about some of those hiccups, but we have a fantastic and dedicated team that worked, to make sure power was supplying well to the vehicle and the whole integration process. It's not a matter of just putting the ROV on Falkor and being, okay, we're ready to go to sea. It takes an entire team to do that, so we had to change some of the layout in our science control room. We had to add a docking head and some winch modifications to the ship to be able to properly deploy and recover Sebastian in a safe and efficient manner.
So it sounds like more issues with just the mechanics of getting it on and off the ship and being able to control it from the ship than necessarily with the ROV itself.
Well, there's always, little things that we have to work on with the ROV itself as well, but also the training. So this is the first time that these guys were working with the ROV, and so they had to learn how to drive the vehicle, know how it moves in the water, and the best ways, to deploy it, recover it, and, the things that they need to pay attention to. So those first couple dives are always nail biters. You don't know how it's going to go. You've worked really, really hard, but this is the first time you're putting the 6,500-pound vehicle in the ocean. So I was luckily available and was present for that first dive. And it's, you know, it's so exciting, and to watch the pride on all of the engineers' faces when they get to see that vehicle that they've built in a year, less than a year, go into the water for the first time.
What about some of the excitement that you hope viewers will feel as they watch this? Because this is open source and people can watch what's happening as it's happening in real time.
Yeah, one of the amazing things is that all the dives that we've done in the past, we've live streamed on our YouTube page, and we plan to continue to do that for ROV Sebastian. Not only will the data be available through online repositories, but having those dives broadcast is amazing because it allows not just scientists, but the rest of the world to participate along with us as we do these dives and to see things for the first time with the scientists.
What about the idea of keeping it not only available to people, but being able to add to the store of information? You plan to allow people to annotate these videos, don't you?
Yeah, and that's something that the whole industry is working on right now. You're collecting so much data when you're doing these video dives, and there's so so much to know and learn from these videos, and being able to annotate it is a really important tool. So we have some things in place already on Falkor so that when our scientists come on board, they can, you know, go through the video live as we're diving and make notes on when things of interest happen. But we've also worked with several other agencies and organizations to help develop annotation programs, and that's something that's evolving and that we're working on.
Specifically, as other people are viewing this and thinking, oh, I know what that is, and put in their own notes, to be able to find some way of standardizing that so everybody knows what you're talking about, the same thing.
Yeah, in 2005, actually, we had a coordinated robotics cruise in Australia, and we worked with Ari Friedman and a couple other folks from the Australian Robotics Center in Sydney, and we were able to work with them on a program that they developed called Squiddle, and that was a public annotation system for coral reef benthic or floor images. And we had a lot of success during that short cruise. We had over 25,000 tags, so there's an interest in citizen science and public being involved in being able to help with these annotations and being sort of quote-unquote armchair scientists.
Right, but you wanted to be helpful and not a hindrance by having things that get populated into, you know, the general, you know, annotation that maybe won't be as correct as it could be. I mean, we watch what happens with Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue there is that there's a lack of standardization, right? So some people will see a fish and they'll call that a fish, or they'll call it by the scientific name, or they might call it something different elsewhere. And so being able to tackle that issue and create some standardization and checks and balances in those annotation programs is something that the industry as a whole is looking at right now.
And specifically for you for this next cruise?
For this next cruise, we're really just focusing on making sure that ROV Sebastian is serving what the scientists are looking to do on the ship. Mm-hmm. But we will have some abilities to look at what's happening and make notes on the dives and what the vehicle is seeing.
Well, especially as that's going to be used for curriculum to make sure that everybody's being taught at a standard level. I would think that that would be really important to get that out, too, before teachers start using this as, you know, part of their daily teaching.
Yeah, and we're really excited about being able to be in the classrooms. We have a ship to shore program where we have live Google Hangouts and chats with students, and that's been very successful because the students get to talk to the scientists that they're following online. We have daily blog updates and weekly video videos to update the students on what they're doing, and so being able to develop some lesson plans around the ROV and the different videos that we've already highlighted is really important.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing what comes back from that very first cruise.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us. Carly Weiner is the communications manager for Schmidt Ocean Institute, and she has more than 12 years' experience in science communications and outreach, and we'll be watching what happens with ROV Sebastian.